Let me ask you a question. What in your life feels complex? What situation in your life feels complex? Is there something going on at work? Maybe the task of being married? Maybe there's a family situation? Maybe you're a parent and it feels complex? Certainly being a mom, we can use that as an illustration, is a complex, complicated, never easy kind of a task. What in your life feels complicated? I was reading in the news this week and I saw this heading, speaking of moms, and it said, Mom of the Year. Could this be Mom of the Year? And I thought, well, I didn't know they would write an article about my wife. She's not here for me to, please tell her I talk good about her. But I read this article and it actually wasn't about a human being, it was about a spider. Who's a little creeped out by spiders? Okay, good, you'll really like this one. So there's a spider called Stegophagus linatus. It's a desert spider, and what's really interesting about the complexity of this spider and the way that it lives is that shortly after its babies are hatched, the mother spider, its babies are hatched, this is kind of gross, the mother secretes this substance that had been building up inside of it, and it gets all over the mother, and the babies feed on that, and it kills the mother, which may remind some of you of what it's like to be a mom. This is an incredible, I don't know why I'm telling this illustration, even as I say it, I don't know how this fits in my sermon. It's an interesting story, so cut it out of the podcast. This is a complex process that this spider goes through. And for this mother spider, mommy spider, it certainly, you would say its life is complex. It's very short after it gives birth. Life is complex, right? You have complexities in your life. Things are complicated for you. Well, what happens as we consider the complexity of whatever situation that we're in? There's several things that happen. And let me just introduce this idea of life being complicated with these ideas. First of all, what happens is our anxiety rises and it can keep us from making simple decisions. You know, when work gets complex for you and complicated, you get stressed, and then you may find yourself unable to make simple decisions. I don't know about you, but that's exactly what happens to me. I find when things around me become complex and the feeling of anxiety within me grows, it's as if I can't even decide what I want to eat for a meal. I can't make simple decisions about where to go and who to call and what to do next on my task list. So when things feel complex, our anxiety rises, and it's difficult to make simple decisions. Some of you feel that, maybe even now. When life feels complex, my observation is that people tend to deal with the complexity of life or whatever situation they're dealing with in unhealthy ways. Things feel complex, the anxiety rises, and so they respond in anger. Some of you are like that. You tend to come home after a complicated, complex, stressful kind of a day, and you are more quick to anger with your loved ones. Or maybe you're the kind of person, rather than feeling angry, what you do is you just distance yourself. Or there are many people, they deal with the complexity of life with excessive use of things like alcohol to numb that feeling of stress and anxiety. More serious than even those, when life becomes complex and we don't know what to do, it can result in us missing the opportunities that God puts before us. We get away from seeking God and trying to discern, God, what do you want me to do in this life? How am I to live? Rather than asking God those questions, really what we just do is retreat. We're scared. We get away. And what we may miss out on, because life is complex and we're unable to deal with it, we may miss out on the meaningful, purpose-filled life that God has for us. Here's the main idea for this morning. Write this down if you're taking notes. Life is complex. Trust in God. Life is complex. Trust in God. I hope that, for those of you that are moms especially, that this encourages you. You feel the complexity of the role as a mother. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Would you stand to your feet? And we're going to read this out loud together. Stand to your feet. It will be on the screen, and read with me if you will. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Let's do it again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. May God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. Life is complex. I just want to encourage you, to exhort you, to challenge you, to remind you today that you can trust in God. You can trust in God in the midst of whatever feels complex in your life. Is it a decision you're making about a job? Is it a decision you're making in parenting? Is it a decision you're making about a relationship, about your future? In the midst of that, you can trust God. You must believe it. And I feel passionate about it this morning because I believe that for many of you, you will be paralyzed by the complexity of your situation or your life if you do not believe that God is trustworthy. But he is. An illustration for you. One of the most fascinating sporting events of the year happens in the Paralympics. You know, the Paralympics are for athletes that are impaired physically in some way. One sport is downhill skiing. Visually impaired skiers, so people that are blind or visually impaired, hurtle down the mountain at highway speeds, guided by another skier who goes a few seconds ahead and calls back changes in direction and terrain via a radio headset. Can you get the picture? Raise your hand if you've been skiing. I mean, I like to go fast skiing. I'm not into like the bumps. I'm like, where's the steep-ish hill? And I want to point my skis and just go down fast. And if somebody's yelling at me like, hey, mister, slow down, I know I'm doing something right. Imagine in a downhill skiing sport that one of the people is nearly blind or blind altogether. It's almost unthinkable as we try to imagine it. Well, in the Paralympics, there's a downhill skiing sport, and this happens. One of the visually impaired ski racers, well known, is Danelle Umsted. Here's what she says about what it's like to ski downhill, unable to see, having to trust the voice of another person. Guiding is not just something anyone can do, she says, speaking of her guide. As a guide, you have to be just as committed, ski faster, and also be able to turn around at any given moment to look behind you at the other athlete when at high speeds. This is not an easy task and takes a lot of training as a team. Finding the right guide, let me reword that. Finding a trustworthy guide is definitely the hardest part for a visually impaired skier. To be able to trust in that person 100% and find a guide who has the same goals for you. You can trust God. If you can imagine that your life is like you are a downhill skier, and whether or not you want to admit it, you are impaired. You are unable to see all that you need to be able to see to take that hurt, to go at the speed that life will take you down a hill. You need a trustworthy guide. You need someone that's more capable than you, faster than you, can clearly communicate to you, because if you do not have a trustworthy guide, what will you do? You will crash and you will die. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Two truths here from this passage. First of all, you must recognize the limits of your own wisdom. You must recognize the limits of your own wisdom. It's really something that touches home to many of you. The type of people that we have in this community of faith, many of you are educated, pretty successful in your jobs. You have a lot of natural gifts. You got to where you are in the perspective of most of the people around you because you have a lot of wisdom. You're very naturally gifted. And you might, for a moment, think that you can do all that God wants you to do to deal with the complexity of your life in your own strength, in your own wisdom. Let me tell you something, you can't. You must recognize the limits of your own wisdom. It's about humility. It's about going before God and saying, God, I will trust you because I cannot think about this clearly enough. I need you in the mix of this complexity. I will trust you because I recognize my own limits. Many voices all around you are telling you, look to yourself for wisdom. But what I'm saying to you is look to God. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 12. Do you see a man who is wise in his own eyes? There is no more hope for him than for a fool. Which in the Bible, when it calls somebody a fool, it's a very derogatory, insulting kind of idea. Do you see a man who's wise in his own eyes, who trusts in his own wisdom ultimately? There is more hope for him than a fool. You will trust in God when you are willing to recognize the limits of your own wisdom. You will trust in God also, second point, when you believe in the unlimited power of God. We've sung about the power of God and how awesome God is. And we, at a fleeting intellectual kind of a level, will agree God as a concept is powerful. But do you believe deeply within yourself that God, as a very real being, has unlimited power, is able to do whatever, whenever, however he wants to do it? Do you believe that? If there's any part of you that slipped from believing that, I want to remind you of it, because we serve a God who can do it. He can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants to do it. Proverbs chapter 37, verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. Everybody say those words. He will do it. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. We must believe that God is ultimately powerful and capable. The reason that you will trust in God is because you decide that it's less risky to trust in God than it is to trust in yourself or some other thing. That's how trust is built in a relationship. You will trust in God because you decide it's less risky to trust in God than some other thing. And the only reason that you would believe that it's less risky to trust in God is because you really believe deeply that God is powerful. If you were to read a letter written by Christians 100 years ago, you would have noticed as the postscript two letters, D and V. The two letters stand for Latin words, Deo Volenti, which means God willing. The early Puritans also loved this phrase, as well as the Methodists. They would sign their letters with DV, simply telling people, God, if God is willing, it will happen. Because God is powerful. You say, okay, remind me, how can I know that God is so powerful? There's no greater example than what we discover when we consider how powerful God is to rescue dead people and raise them to new life in Christ. It's the story of the Bible. Colossians chapter 1. If you have your Bible, flip over to Colossians chapter 1. I just want to read a few verses for you. If you have one of our Bibles, Colossians chapter 1, it's on page 983. Colossians chapter 1, Paul's writing to the church at Colossae, fledgling church much like ours. And he's describing to this church who Jesus is and what he's done. We pick up in the middle of this kind of hymn that Paul is writing to the Colossian church in verse 19 of chapter 1, describing what Jesus has done. Is God powerful? Let's look here. For God, in all his fullness, was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. Do you know what the word reconciled means? You're smart, you do, but reconciled means he made right that which was wrong. Through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This is the gospel message. Apart from Christ, we're not reconciled. In Christ, we are reconciled. That's the gospel. That's the good news. It's freely available to you. Verse 21, the power of God. This includes you who were once far away from God. Whether or not you realize it, apart from Christ, you are far from God. In fact, the Bible describes you as an enemy of God, a child of the prince of the power of the air. In other words, the devil. You were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. God is powerful. You must believe in the unlimited power of God if you are going to live trusting him in the midst of whatever complexity is in your life. God is powerful. He's so powerful that he took you, or can take you, someone who is an enemy of his, dead in your sin, and raise you into new life. And then someday you'll stand before Jesus. Jesus will judge you, not as unrighteous, but as righteous, without a single fault. Now that is powerful. That is a lot of power. That is something that no one else in the history of the world could do, and certainly not something that you can do yourself. God is powerful. Are you with me? So if we trust God for salvation, how much more can we trust him for the complexities of life? How much more can we trust him in the midst of a difficult decision? How much more can we trust him when a marriage gets complex or finances get stressful? Complexities can be paralyzing, and it will keep us from moving forward, but you can trust God because he will take care of you in the midst of your situation. I don't know about you, but that's a lot of hope for me. There's an old church hymn that has a verse that says this: "Trust him when dark doubts assail thee. Trust him when thy strength is small. Trust him when to simply trust him seems the hardest thing of all. Trust him, he is ever faithful. Trust him, for his will is best. Trust him, for the heart of Jesus is the only place of rest." All of this begs the question, well, what happens when I do trust God and life seems to get more difficult? Because that's reality, right? There's an old story of a father who took his young son and out on the porch and stood him on the railing of the back porch, and he then went down the stairs and on the ground, stood on the lawn and encouraged his son to jump into his arms, to trust him. The father is saying with great passion to the son, "I'll catch you. You can trust me." So after a lot of coaxing, the little boy finally trusted his father, made the leap. But when he did, the father stepped back, let the child fall to the ground. And then he picked him up, dusted him off, and dried his tears and said, "Let that be a lesson. Don't ever trust anybody." Maybe that's been your experience. Maybe that's how you feel. When I say to you, trust in God, you're like, wait, I've trusted in God and this situation became more complex or life became more difficult. Let me tell you something. Trusting in God does not eliminate the complexities of life. Instead, it informs our next step. Trusting in God will not eliminate the complexities of life. Your life will feel at times more so, at times less so complex until you're dead. That's reality. Trusting in God informs our steps in the midst of it. It helps us to keep moving forward. When I was in college, one of the degrees I studied in undergraduate was mathematics. And I'll never forget during one senior seminar, it was right at the end, I'd worked hard. The professor began baiting us at the beginning of the semester about at the end, the final would be easy. It was only going to be one problem. Well, I thought, oh, this will be great. And I've done literally thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of math problems to get this degree. I can do one problem to pass. So the semester goes, and of course, I tried my best. You know, when you're a senior, you don't really pay attention too much because you're kind of like on your way out. But I try my best to study and to think and to learn. And we get to the final, and I'm coming with confidence to the final. I sit down, and sure enough, one problem. The only thing was that one problem was huge. It was a collection of everything I'd ever learned in math. And immediately as I sat in my chair, and I can remember it like it was yesterday, I sat there and the anxiety within me began to rise and I began to be stressed and think, I'm not going to pass. I'm not going to move forward. What am I going to do? I was just paralyzed. And then for whatever reason, I like to think it was God whispered into my mind, trust me, take one step. One step. And so that's what I did. For 3 hours, I took one step at a time. And I completed that problem. I don't remember my grade. All I remember is that I passed. And that's all that really matters, right, in college? In the same way, trusting in God will not eliminate life's complexities. But what it does is it gives us that little voice that says, just trust me and take a step. Take a step. Keep moving forward. I'm with you. You don't understand it, but I do. I will lead your path. I will make your path straight. I want to charge you in the presence of God our Father and our Savior Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit to trust in God. What is it? Have you been paralyzed by the complex situation you're dealing with, unable to move forward and thinking about your future or a relationship? Trust in God and take a step. I want to say one final thing, and then I'm going to pray, and we're going to take communion together. You know, if you're trusting in God, you know, the idea is kind of out there, like, how do we know whether or not we're really trusting in God? How do I practically trust in God? You'll know if you're trusting in God as you recognize or feel the complexity of a situation, your anxiety is rising, if you're given to prayer. That's how you'll know if you're trusting in God. I'm reminded of that frequently. Something happened this week that felt very stressful to me. The situation was very complex. I felt unable to reasonably think about it. I was paralyzed. Like, I couldn't even get to the next task on my list. And I was, in, of course, preparing for this sermon. It was like God dropped this point in my lap of, God, I want to trust you. What do I do? And it was like, I just need to pray. Because in praying, what we're doing is we're saying, God, I trust you. I need your wisdom. I want to move forward. So are you given to prayer? When things feel complex, do you pray? So you say, how do I apply a sermon like this? Well, first of all, I think what we can think about is our prayer life. How often are you praying? Do you pray in the midst of a situation? When things get stressful, rather than becoming angry or distancing yourself or going to some kind of numbing outlet like excessive drinking or whatever it may be for you, will you, rather than doing those things, be the kind of person that says, I'm going to get on my knees and pray? Martin Luther said, pray as if everything depends on God, then work as if everything depends on you.